Thank you, worship team, and what a beautiful song that was. And this morning, I'm going to be ministering to you this morning on the subject of God's flow and God's protection. God's flow, somebody say God's flow, and God's protection. And this morning, if you haven't yet, you still have an opportunity to share with somebody. Share with somebody there on Facebook Live. You could share it, or even a little bit later on YouTube, you could go ahead and share it. Also, feel free to leave some comments. You know, if God touches you in a special way, does something just really special in your life or ministers to you, go ahead and share it, amen. We love to be able to hear not only what, you know, what God is doing, but what God is doing in your life, amen. So if you could go ahead and share that. This is going to be the flow. This is going to be the flow. This is where the river is flowing here, and the river is flowing there. Right there where you're at your house, God is on the move. And I want to say this before we get into God's Word, and we're going to get into God's Word in a moment. If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Psalm 91 this morning. We're going to be reading that psalm. And we have an awesome opportunity to have church online this morning. Turn me down just a hair on the monitor, please. We have an awesome opportunity to have church online this morning. It really is, you know, what it is an amazing opportunity. And we have to seize this moment. You know, it's something awesome about it, because when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's tangible. It's tangible. I like that word to describe it, because tangible, let me try to explain it to you like this. It's like, if you're having a great cooking show, right? If there's a cooking show that's taking place and you're watching it on TV, well, imagine if you could be watching that TV show, but you're able to smell the food. Come on, somebody. You're able to smell the food. Let me go a step further than that. Imagine that you could even taste the food. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? Somebody should invent that, right? But that's what happens. That's how the Holy Spirit is. Come on, somebody. The anointing that hits right here, the anointing that God pours out, that rests upon those that are here in my physical presence, that same anointing, it rests and it pours out right there where you're at. This morning, people of God, I want to minister to you, and I believe that God is going to encourage you in a special way. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I want you to stay engaged with me. I want you to go ahead, even if you're there at your house, I don't care if you're by yourself, preach back at me. I can feel you preaching back at me. Come on, somebody. And, you know, this morning, I want to speak this morning a message of hope, not fear. I want to speak this morning a message of victory, not defeat. A message of life and not death. A message of advancing and not retreating. Somebody say amen. And a message of succeeding and not failing. Because God is a God that fulfills. He's a God of fulfillment. He fulfills his promises. He doesn't disappoint. And God is going to be faithful to every single one of our lives. So I want you right there, we're at in Psalm 91. I want you to go ahead and read with me. The Bible reads like this. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust." This is such a powerful portion of scripture. I want you to look at what this says. It says, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." Tell your neighbor, do not fear. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you..." Tell your neighbor this morning, he's talking to you this morning. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Come on, somebody. No evil shall befall you, no plague come near your dwelling. For listen to this, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Somebody say, in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. That's what God is saying to you this morning. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for these next few moments. We pray, let your word minister, speak, encourage, challenge, Father, remind every single person, God, online, here in this place, God, that, Lord, you are a God that has a plan. And in the midst of no matter what circumstances, Lord, you always come through. Have your way this morning. We'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says amen. And amen. If you were standing, you go ahead and be seated this morning. You turn me down just another hair there on the monitor. You know, this is one of the most powerful and encouraging passages in the Word of God. Let me tell you a true story. You know, and this is, man, this is powerful. When I was little and we used to live right there in Pomona off of San Jose Avenue, we used to live there, and almost every month, say we would go to my grandma's house, which lived in Santa Ana, and we would go there, and it would be like almost every month when we would go, we would get broken into our house. And they would go in there, and they would break, and they got so comfortable breaking into our house, pretty soon they were having like little parties, I mean, you could tell, and then they were just messing the house up, destroying it. Well, one time, my mom, I realized that she had done this, and she grabbed her Bible. And in one of our rooms, I don't know what she had in that room, it was our family room that I remember, she opened the Bible to Psalm 91, and she put it inside of that room. And then one time, sure enough, we went to my grandma's house, and we came back to the depressing sight of being able to see from a distance that our house had been broken into again. They ate, they did all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to describe it. It'll bum you out. But we went in there, we seen everything, but in that one room where my mom had put that Bible and opened it up to Psalm 91, in that one room, those people did not step in there. It looked like I don't know if they went in there, they might have even cleaned it. Come on, somebody. They did not steal, they did not ravage, they did not ransack, they did not touch that room where that Bible was open to that scripture. Now, to me, I know that God is faithful. And to me, it's just like an illustration of how powerful and encouraging this scripture is to you and I this morning. It tells us three things. It tells us the condition of God's protection. The condition for God's protection, number one. It tells you what God saves us from, number two. And then thirdly, it tells us how he does it. So first of all, I want to look at this, the condition to God's protection. Well, it says this in Psalm 91, and I want to kind of break it down for you this morning. It says this, when it talking about the condition to God's protection, it says this, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Well, what is the secret place of the Most High? I'm glad you asked. Well, when you look at David always had a secret place. David always had a secret place where he would talk to God. You know, David, King David, the shepherd boy David and Goliath. And he always had that secret place where he would talk to God, and he also had that secret place where he would worship God, where he began to build and develop that love relationship between him and his Father in heaven. It's such a precious, precious picture of the relationship that God wants with you and I. And so that secret place, first for David, I'm sure it started even before that when he was young, but he was young when he was in the shepherd field. And it was there in that shepherd field where it was that secret place, where he was all alone. You ever been all alone in a place where maybe nobody even wanted to be? Because see, nobody wanted to be with David. He was out there with the sheep. They didn't smell pretty. They didn't smell like perfume or cologne. They smelled dirty. And he was out there tending those sheep. But that was his secret place where he was able to get a hold of God. Later on, that secret place for David, it took the form of caves, where he was at sometimes running from danger, at sometimes just finding a place to be able to find some refuge. And he would be in a cave, and it was there in that place, or whatever place that it was, that he found a secret place with God. Those are the conditions to God's protection. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, Psalm 27:5 is used to describe... this is what it describes. I want you to, this is heavy right here. It's used to describe the central tent of the commander of an army. It says, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That's what that means. It's talking about the central tent of the commander of an army. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In other words, the enemy, in order for the enemy to get to that commander, to get to that person in that secret place where they had him, the enemy would have to break through rank after rank after rank after rank of soldiers to get to that place and cause that commander danger. It's the secret place where you're at with God and where you're safe in his presence. Or also, most likely, when you're talking about the secret place, the dwelling place of the Lord, most likely it refers to the most holy place. When you think about Solomon, he had built a temple. And in that temple, or wherever God's place was, that temple, and the priests would go in there, there was a holy place. There was the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Matter of fact, when you go to Jerusalem, the wall, the Wailing Wall right there, that is one of the closest places to the Holy of Holies. That's why it's one of the most cherished places to the people of Israel, because there in that place was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God dwelt. And anybody that went into the presence of God, if you were not able to go in there, you would be struck dead. That's why the priests had to be prepared. They had to make sacrifice. Well, I want you to know this morning that Jesus has been the sacrifice for every single one of us. And because of the blood of Jesus and what he did on that cross for you and I, that we're going to be celebrating in Easter in just a few weeks. Because of that, my friend, you're able to be in the secret place in the Holy of Holies where the presence of God dwells. It was a sacred chamber, the dwelling place where the Shekinah glory, they call it, of God's presence was. Well, what does it mean to dwell there? That's a secret place. What does it mean to dwell there? Well, have you ever heard those words, home is where the heart is? You ever told somebody that or heard that? I'm sure you have. Home is where the heart is. Well, for the one who dwells with God, God is the center of their affections. He's the center of their thoughts. Come on, somebody. He's the center of their heart's desires. All of the best things that they aspire for or long for, everything begins with looking first to their Father in heaven, by looking to God. That's what it means to dwell there, that he is the center of your life. Every step that you take, every move that you make, every thought that you have, you check it with your Father because you dwell there in that place of his presence. It's like the Apostle Paul said. He said, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He said, set your minds on things above. Tell the person next to you this morning, set your mind on things above. He said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So what's the characteristics of this type of person that dwells in the secret place? Well, number one is this: they love to be alone with God. Come on, somebody. They love to be alone with God. That's one of their characteristics. And I am sure, I got a hunch, I don't know, but I know that we all have some extra time to do that right now. Come on, somebody. You ain't got a choice. For you, they don't even have sports on right now. Oh, they're starting to play some replays, but right now is you have time to be alone with God. And I guarantee you, if you just take that one little moment, the Bible says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. And right there where you're at, even if it starts, you sit on the edge of your bed, you sit there on your couch, at your kitchen table, and you just take one moment to begin to talk to God and draw near to him, I guarantee you, you will begin to feel that presence, that peace of God that surpasses understanding will overwhelm your life, and you'll know that God is with you. Another thing is about a characteristic of that person is that they converse with God in solitude. So like I said, we need to be like David. Somebody say like David. How was David? David was a person after God's own heart. That's what he was. God describes them as a man after my own heart. I want to be like that. I want to be a man. If there's anything that I want God to be able to call me, I want him to be able to call me a man after his own heart. That's where it's at. That's where it's at, my friend. Tell your neighbor that's where it's at. We need to love God, and we need to pursue a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want to tell you this morning. I want to give you something that's going to be able to give you breakthroughs in your life right now. I want to give you something that when you're feeling down, you're feeling the negativity try to creep in on you, I want to give you something that's going to break you out of that negativity. I want to give you something that's going to help you to be positive, and not only in your own life, but it's going to be able to look at your family member, your loved one, or somebody that you're connecting with, and let them know in their hard time that they don't have to stay there, but if God is on their side, they're able to come up and be encouraged with God. So we need to pursue the best we can that relationship with God. You know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean perfection. Some people will think that, well, what do I need to do to be able to, what, you know, I have to this, I have to that. No, it doesn't mean perfection. But it means it means heart longing. That's what it means. It means heart longing. What do you long for? Let me ask you that question this morning. Let me ask us that. What do you long for? Do you long for the presence of God? Do you long to be closer to God? During all of these things that have been taking place, do you long to have a little bit more of God inside of your life? The Bible says this, the psalmist said, as the deer pants. Listen to what this says, how beautiful it is. This is how our relationship should be with the Lord. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Let the desire for God consume you. What's another characteristic of this type of person is that they confess their faith. Somebody say, confess your faith. The Bible says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. In other words, the psalmist, this writer, confesses by faith God's protection. And not only that, but he witnesses. In other words, he testifies of his faith and his faith and his trust in God to other people. In verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 91, he mentions five names of God. He says this, five ways that he describes the Lord. He says the Most High. He says Almighty. He says the Lord God. He says he's my refuge. And it says, he's my fortress. In Romans 10, it says that we're saved. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, it says we're saved not only by believing in our hearts, but by confessing with our mouths. Confession is an important part of our faith. Somebody say amen. What am I saying? Okay, well, that also has to do with salvation. That has to do with a lot of things. Obviously, we want to confess. You don't want to keep your faith in Christ a secret. And also, if you have something that's going to encourage somebody, something that's going to bless somebody, you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to share it with somebody. You want to give it to somebody so they could be able to have what you have. But not only that, if you take it a step further, you want to make sure this, that we're not contradicting what we believe by our negative words. Come on, somebody. That we're not contradicting what we believe by our negative words. Well, what are you saying, Pastor Rob? I'm saying this. I'm saying that sometimes we sabotage ourselves. Nobody. I wonder if anybody's ever walked around with a pity party. Come on, somebody. I wonder if everybody's ever walked around in your house feeling like in the last 2 weeks, woe is me. Huh, somebody? And sometimes we sabotage ourselves. We begin to speak negativity. We begin to speak all of the things that are opposite to who God is and what God provides. And we begin to speak that into our future and into our lives. This is what Proverbs 6:2 says. It says, you're snared by the words of your mouth. And in Proverbs 18, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So what is that telling us this morning? It means that we want to speak life. It means that you want to speak the promises of God. It means that you want to confess your faith. You want to confess your trust. You want to confess your hope. You want to confess that God is faithful. Yes, I'm not blind. Yes, I see my circumstance. Yes, it looks big. Yes, it looks impossible. But still, my God is bigger than whatever stands in front of me at any time. So you want to confess faith. You want to tell people. You want to tell your situation, you want to tell your marriage, you want to tell your future, you want to tell it that God is faithful, that he's going to come through, that you don't know how, maybe you don't have your job right now, maybe they told you to stay home, but you're not going to confess that you're not going to have anything. Instead, you're going to confess that somehow, some way, even though you're not working, God is going to provide for you, he's going to make a way for you, he's going to give you finances, he's going to give you peace, he's going to give you a breakthrough, and if you're sick, God is going to give you a healing upon your body. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. He's faithful. God is faithful. So secondly, real quickly, I want to share with you what are some things that God will save you from so you can understand how thorough God is. God is not only going to save you from one problem, God is going to save you from many things. He will protect you from many things. This is God's flow. And this is God's protection. Somebody say amen. So number one, he protects you in those verses. I want to look at those verses. It says this. It says he protects you from the snare of the fowler. Well, what is the snare of the fowler? Right? Because those are kind of biblical words. What does that mean? It sounds a little bit too religious for me. Well, this is really simply what it means. It speaks of something that is concealed. In other words, like a trap. Have you ever fallen into a trap? I don't know if you have. But what it's saying is that God will save you. God will protect you from the enemy's trap. Even your haters. Anybody got any haters? Come on, somebody. Trap against your life. Right? So it speaks of something concealed, a trap. And when it talks about the snare of the fowler, it's a trap. When you think about the enemy spiritually, when you think about the enemy, right, the devil, and the enemy that is the enemy of our soul, just like a hunter sets a trap for the prey that it wants, it's a trap that's adapted to its nature. So if it's a bunny rabbit, I don't know, I don't wish no harm on bunny rabbits. A wolverine, I don't know. I've watched Alaska TV there for a little bit. They set traps, they set snares, but it's according to that animal and what they like or what they're going to go to or what their nature is. Well, that's how the enemy is with you. He might not be able to read your mind. He might not be able to know what you're thinking. He might not be able to see the future. He surely can't be in every place at one time like God, but he might be able to know your behavior. And because he knows that you have a tendency, anybody have any kind of tendencies? Come on, somebody. If somebody talks to you the wrong way, you have a tendency to get mad. Come on, somebody. If somebody tries to tell you a little bit about your life, you have a tendency to let pride spring up in your life. Come on, husband, don't look at your wife. Wife, don't look at your husband. Yeah, we have a tendency, right? So the enemy will set those snares and traps according to that tendency. But the Bible says that God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And that's when you make him your dwelling place. Even that bait, that decoy that he sets up to trick you and trap you, God will expose it and God will protect you and set you free from it. What's the next thing? Quickly moving on, is it says that he'll protect you from deadly pestilence. Right? Deadly pestilence. And that speaks of something that comes upon you when you're unaware. In other words, from that which there's no natural way to guard yourself. God protects you from it. Something that just comes upon you. You weren't aware. Oh my gosh, what happened? God protects you from it. It also says he protects you of the terror of night. Well, the terror of night, back in those days, it described like thieves, violent thieves that would break in at night. It's like a picture of Satan, who he is a thief and a robber. And he comes at night to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the Bible says that God protects you from these violent thieves. Not physical thieves. Yeah, maybe even physical thieves, but even spiritual thieves that come in and try to rob your marriage, that come in and try to rob your children, that come in and try to rob your destiny, that try to rob you of your blessing so that you miss out. God says that he will protect you no matter how violent the opposition comes against you to try to rob you. The Bible says that God will protect you from these. It also says he'll protect you from the arrows that fly by day. I want to break this scripture down because this morning it's going to minister to you that God protects you in every circumstance. It's the arrow that flies by day. What is that? Well, that's like an open attack, right? An arrow that flies by day, an open attack. It comes from a distance. Speeding arrows are hard to see coming. Somebody ever try to set you up, do something to you, cause you harm, talk about you? The list goes on and on. Come on, somebody. Somebody ever try to do something to you, and you said to yourself, or you said to somebody, oh, I didn't see that coming. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I didn't see that coming. I want you to know that God protects you from that. I can't get no amens this morning. Pestilence, it also says that God protects you from the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. That's a picture of a predator at night. In other words, it's a picture of extreme fear. You ever battled with extreme fear? The enemy or things ever try to grip you with extreme fear? That's what this talks about. That's what this pestilence that stalks in the darkness. It's an extreme fear. Whatever that might be, it might be a fear of failure. It might be a fear that you're not good enough. It might be a fear of what you did in the past is going to stop you from getting to your future. It might be a fear that you're not good enough, or you have too many hang-ups, or you're not qualified enough to be God's child or to be used of God. Well, I want you to let you know this morning that because of the grace of God and because of the blood of Jesus, God saves you. From whatever that extreme fear might be, you do not need to be afraid. The Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. You do not have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be afraid. When it creeps up on you at night, you don't have to be afraid. Claim the promises of God. Speak, pray over your life. I have my 2-year-old beautiful little baby. When I'm going through things, I have my 2-year-old precious little baby or my 6-year-old precious little girl. I have them come and I say, pray for me, baby. And they lay hands on me. Oh, I love it. They lay hands on me and they close their eyes. They go, daddy. And I can't even hear them. They talk real low. Daddy, God, please protect my daddy. And blah, blah, blah. And they said whatever. I don't even care what they're saying. All I know is that God knows what they're saying. Because even the prayer of a little baby, God is faithful to protect you. You do not have to be afraid. Come on, somebody. And then lastly, it says the plague that destroys at midday. You know what that means? That is this, the midday. And I want, just listen to this. The midday is the brightest part of the day. And if a plague is sweeping on you during that time, it's one that can't be stopped. Okay? This would be like the last stroke of disaster. Okay? And it's saying that God will protect you from the plague that destroys at midday. This would be like the heaviest last stroke of disaster, but the Bible says, Psalm 91 says, the Word of God says, the Spirit of God says that God will protect us from it all, even if it's 100 times worse than what you're facing or have ever faced. God is able to protect you from it. The Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Come on, somebody. It says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, while others worry, we're able to have a present peace. 1,000 may fall at your side. Did you read that? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. It won't touch you. It can't touch you. God protects you. This is an encouragement to not fear what others fear. Come on, somebody. David said this. He said, their rock is not like our rock. He said, their rock is not like our rock. Their God is not like our God. Come on, somebody. Apostle Paul said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. What was he saying? He was saying, maybe other people's gods won't provide, but your God will provide. Maybe other people's gods won't show up, but your God, no matter how dark it looks, before the midnight hour, God will show up before it's too late, because he's never late and he's always on time. It's saying that my God shall provide. Even if theirs don't provide, my God will provide. What is God saying? He's saying, don't compare yourself with others. Trust that your God's going to come through for you. No matter what you see all around you, your God is faithful. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is faithful. The sovereign God, El Shaddai. Come on, somebody. Jehovah Jireh. He is the faithful God. He's the one and only true God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he will come through for you. He is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you, my brother, my sister, family, whoever you are right there where you're at. He's interceding for you, and God will protect you. This doesn't mean we won't have troubles. Of course not. It says he's going to deliver you. That means you got captured for a moment. Come on, somebody. But then he set you free. And then it says, I'll be with him in trouble. I love the statement in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you have time, which I know you got time right now, read the book of Daniel, and there are three Hebrew slaves, and they were going to get thrown into a fiery furnace if they did not bow down to a golden god. And they said, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow down. We're going to be faithful to God even in times of trouble, because we know that God is faithful like no other God. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Give him an elbow bump from across the way. Wave at him and tell them, my God is faithful. A different version says this, that we're going to be kept under the overcoat of God Almighty. In other words, like when the weather was bad, I put my little babies under my coat. I got a big enough coat to put them under it, and I protect them from the elements. That's what God does for you. You're his boy. You're his girl. God loves you. He protects you. Thirdly and lastly is this. How's God going to do it? And this is powerful. This is powerful. How is God going to do it? Well, we don't really need to know, but he still explains it to us. All we need to know is that he is going to protect us. But he still goes on to give us some details. And this is powerful. This is good stuff. This is the word of God. This is not, you know, the news and all those. No, this is the good news. This is the word of God. This is what you can hold on to when everything else fails you and everything falls apart, and Dow Jones and your job and all these things, when they fall apart, this is what you can hold on to. And it is an anchor to your soul, because it is the word of God, and God does not lie. So it means this. So how will God do it? Well, number one, this is powerful. It says it in this chapter. It says he will command his angels. Ooh, come on, somebody. Don't start getting weird on angels and everything. But just know this, that God will protect you with his angels. God will place invisible, supernatural beings around you
to guard you, to lift you up if you fall, my friend. Come on, somebody, to give you power to trample on forces that otherwise would be deadly to you. But because God gives his angels charge over you, you're able to walk with peace and know that it's not going to harm you or your life or your family. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that this morning. He commands his angels and he gives them charge over you. I pray at night, I say, God, encamp angels around the four corners of my property. When I get in my car, I say, God, encamp your angels around my car as I drive. Why? Because God gives his angels to protect you and to watch over you. I remember the word of God, another powerful word. You can look it up, Google it, Elijah. Elisha was surrounded by the armies of the Arameans. Big army. They were outnumbered. And his servant that Elisha was with panicked. You ever had somebody back in the day, or and you got into and there was a lot of enemies and it was just you and them, and then they wanted to run? Nobody in high school. Nobody went to high school. Well, that's how his servant was, and he was scared and he panicked, and they were surrounded by this army of Arameans. I mean, they were there. They were just, it was just Elisha and his servant. And there was countless enemies all around. These enemies had spears, they had swords, they had horses, they had chariots. And they were scared. But the man of God, with all the peace in the world, all the peace of God, he closed his eyes and he prayed. And he said, God, he said, open the eyes of my servant. Open the eyes of my friend. I pray, God, that you open his eyes, that he may be able to see like I see. And guess what? After he prayed that prayer, his servant who had been panicked, guess what? His servant opened up his eyes, and what he saw was he saw the whole hill was surrounded by God's fiery chariots and angels that were way more numerable than the enemies that were in front of them. And he said, it might look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by the faithfulness of Almighty God. He said, there's no danger. There's no danger. There's no enemy. It's not big enough. It's not great enough to outnumber the protection that God has for your life. If you could only see in the spirit, my friend. If you could only see with spiritual eyes, my friend, how much God loves you, how much God's going to protect you, and how much God will not let it come near you. He opened his eyes and he saw spiritual warriors, fiery chariots ready to protect the man of God and his servant. And I want you to know this morning that no matter what invisible enemy, no matter what physical enemy, no matter what mental enemy might try to come your way, I want you to know that you're surrounded by the faithfulness of God. The only danger was to the enemy, not God's children. The enemy was in trouble. Has somebody, anybody ever threatened you back in the day, and when you were little, 5, 6 years old, and they messed with you, and then you had a bigger brother? This happened to me once. Shout out to you, bro. And I said, oh, you messed up now, because I knew I had a big brother. I said, oh, you messed up now. That's all right. Wipe the blood off my lip. Come on, somebody. Picked myself up, dusted myself up. Oh, that's all right. You messed up now. And the Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he will run to your side and protect you right when you need him. The enemy's in trouble. I said, the enemy's in trouble. I said, the enemy's in trouble. Not God's children, not God's people, not God's children. He said, I will build my house and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it. And then secondly, how does God protect you? Very simple like this. God will answer your prayers. Ooh, come on, somebody. When I pray, my God hears. When I ask, my God answers. I don't know about somebody else's God. I don't know about their God. I don't know about the God that they worship. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I call out to his name because I'm his spiritual child, he hears my prayer and he uses it to come to my rescue. Come on, somebody. That's the difference between those that abide and dwell in the presence of our Most High God is that we pray and our God answers. That's the difference. Our God answers. Ooh. They had the prophets of Baal, man. They challenged Elisha's God, our God, to a challenge, and they were out there praying to their God. They were cutting themselves and trying to bleed. I don't want to get too descriptive on you, but they were cutting themselves, beseeching their God to show up. Elisha just walked up by himself. Say, God, just show them you're faithful. He sent fire down from heaven. Come on, somebody consumed what needed to be consumed, because our God answers when we pray. We can panic about the COVID-19, coronavirus, or anything else. But when we pray, I said when we pray, God will put invisible walls around us. I don't know if you believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. He puts a hedge of protection around me. He puts a hedge of fire around me. He puts a protection around me. Come on, somebody. So that it won't come near our dwelling. Remember in Egypt when the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn of Egypt occurred? The same plague went through everyone's home, but it didn't enter the home of those who had the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of their house. That spirit, that plague, that death came and touched everybody else but the children of God who had the blood of the Lamb. It didn't come in their house. That's why it's called the Passover, because that spirit passed over and it didn't touch them, because God was their God and He's faithful to their lives. We need to pray. I said we need to pray. We don't need to worry more. We need to pray. You can get a little informed, but don't get over-informed. Instead, pray, 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 pray. Ask God, believe God, and watch God show up, because our God answers. The Bible says you receive not because you ask not. Lastly, how does He do it? Well, He keeps His promises. The promises of God, He keeps them. God is separating people. God is looking to raise people up. The Bible says this, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The time is now. It's not only our time, but the time is now. The time is now. Can somebody say amen? The time is now. The fields are white and ready for harvest now. Don't say in another month, in another 2 months. No, now. It's not by your efforts. It's not because you're good. It's not because you're all that. It's not because you're perfect. It's by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I stand here before you today not because I did things right, but because of the grace of Almighty God who forgave me when I was an unforgivable sinner. There's a river that's flowing as I close this morning. I'm going to ask the keyboard to come. There's a river that's flowing. Somebody say, jump in the river. This flow, I want you to know, that stay connected to the church. This is the river right now. It's in your house right now. It's flowing right now. There is a river that is flowing. Somebody say, jump in the river. See, with Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, it was, I believe, chapter 47, it was ankle deep. But then it says that he looked, and when he went out further, it went to his knees. And then it went to his waist. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't able to stand anymore, and he was just swimming in it. I want you to know this morning that some of you, the river is already knee-deep in your life. God's already getting ready to pour out a mighty anointing. A mighty river of life is getting ready to flow through your circumstance like you would have never believed. Some of you this morning, it's about to get waist deep on you. It's about to get waist deep on you. As a matter of fact, some of you, you're getting ready to start swimming in it. What it means is when you get ready to start swimming in it, it means that you're ready to let God take you wherever He wants to take you. You're ready to stop making decisions and holding back God and saying God and giving Him limitations. Well, if this God or if that God, you're ready to say, God, no matter what God, I will serve you. No matter what, God, it doesn't matter. What doesn't matter if this, it doesn't matter if that, it doesn't matter this here or there. It doesn't matter, God, I'm not going to hold, I'm going to jump in the river and I'm going to let you take me wherever you want to take me, because I know the destiny that you have for me is a good destiny, is a great destiny, is a blessed destiny. Jump in the flow of God's Spirit, the flow of the kingdom, the flow of the house of God. Jump in the river. I want to give you a little story right here before I pray for you, and I'm going to pray for you right now. If you want to stand, you could stand where you're at, or you could just right there be in the presence of God. But I'm going to pray for you, but I want to give you this story. How do we experience God's power? By staying connected to the river. The river is the Holy Spirit. The river is Jesus. That's the river. He said, if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Imagine that. You'll be satisfied. You won't have that longing, that empty hole in you that is always looking, that you're looking for. You won't be looking for it no more. You would have found it. You'll be satisfied. That river of living water, you'll never thirst again. There was a city. Just stay with me for two more minutes, okay? Well, maybe three, four. I'm a preacher, so. There was a city in Mississippi where something happened that nobody was able to foresee. And this is what happened, was that the Mississippi River, over a number of years, it began to change courses. And little by little, not suddenly, but over the course of years, the current of the river began to go in a different direction. So the town, that town, it slowly began to wither and die. And if you Google it, it will talk about one of the most prominent cities that America had in its early history. It became a ghost town. As a matter of fact, at one time, you could go there and there was only one road in and one road out. There was a hollow shell of a town. There were no inhabitants, there were no people, there were no families, there were no children, there was no prosperity, nothing. There was no booming business, there was no rustling and bustling in the streets with prosperity. All of it left when the river left. All of it left when the river left. And the same I want you to know this morning is true of our life. You and me. Those that are here, those that hear my voice, the same is true for us. There's no difference between us and that little town. If we don't have the flow, if we're not in the flow during this time, if we let the enemy checkmate us or isolate us or get us out of the flow, or any time in your life, if you allow the enemy or circumstances or this world to get you out of the flow of the river, if we don't have the river that gives life, if the Spirit is not leading us, if the Spirit is not directing us, if we're not going in the current of God's river, then the blessings of God, the success of God, and the victories of God, if that river ever leaves our life, everything that you know and have will dry up and be joyless and lifeless. No matter what else we have going for us, no matter what, no matter how good it might, we already know it could be going great one day, and the next day, you don't have a say-so. It's all changed. Your whole world could be turned upside down in a matter of moments. And I want you to know that if you have the river, you're still going to have life. You're still going to have hope. You're still going to have joy. You're still going to have your marriage. You're still going to have your children. Like we read this morning, you're still going to have the protection of God, and God is still going to hide you in the shadow of His feathers. But if you don't have the river, if the river ever leaves us, everything we have will die. I said it will die. When I think about this church, Victory Outreach Pomona, you know, we started in the Spirit. I said, we started in the Spirit. We didn't have screens and lights. We didn't have these buildings. We didn't have this big, beautiful sanctuary. We didn't have those cushioned seats that right now are empty and nobody's sitting in them. We didn't have those cushioned seats. We didn't have all this stuff that we have. You know what we had? We had the Spirit of God. I said, we have the Spirit of God. We started in the Spirit. And now, like in Galatians, it says, who bewitched you? How did that which you started in the Spirit, now you want to complete it in the flesh? Who tricked you? Who bewitched you? No, the way, the same way in our humble beginnings, when it started in the Spirit, it has not changed a thing. I want you to know that the promises of God and the destiny of God for your life is not going to be done in the strength of your own hand, in your job, in your knowledge, but it's going to be done by the Spirit of a good and loving God. Listen, I'm not going back. I don't want to lose the good things. I don't want to lose the building, the cushioned seats, and the sanctuary. But I do want to always be needing the Spirit. I want to always be needing the Spirit. I want to always be leaning on God's Spirit. I want to always need His guidance. Not my BFF. Not the news. I want God's guidance. Because when you go somewhere that you've never gone before, like we are right now, the only one that can lead you there is God, because only God is in the future. And when God tells you to do something, you do it. Not because it makes sense, but because you know that He's a loving God and He cares for you. And if He's saying, come to me, you who are heavy, laden, and weary, if He's saying, come to me, then this morning I want to let you know, go to Him. Go to Jesus. He loves you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to be everything that you need Him to be. Somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. Here's the final thing about it, and I'm going to pray for you. That when that river that I talked about, when it started going the other direction, those people of that town, they had to make a choice. We can stay here in this condition and die. Come on, somebody. They had to make a choice. We could stay here in this condition and die, or we can go with the river and live. We could go with the river that brings life, that brings hope, and we can live. Your marriage can live, your family can live, your children can live, but you have to make a decision now to go with the river. God is moving forward. And if His river changes courses, if His river changes courses, then we have to go with the flow of that river. This is the flow right now. And I want to encourage you, church, be the church. People of God, trust God more now in your adversity than in your peace. Trust God. Share your faith and tell somebody that God loves them. Because if they put their faith in Him, God is the one that is going to protect them. He's going to provide for them. He's going to come to their rescue. He's going to turn their life around. And when all of this panic is done, they're going to come out of the other side of this time. They're going to come out blessed. They're going to come out anointed. They're going to come out saved. And they're going to come out grateful. Grateful that during this time, God used it for them to have Jesus within their life. Church, be the church. Let's do what God called us to do. Stay connected. Stay connected here online. Stay connected with each other. It's going to pass. When this whole thing is going to pass. It's only a season. And when it passes, let me ask you a question. When it passes, what is your spiritual condition still going to be? When it's done, when it's over, and everybody could come back out of their houses, and they come back into this church, and when it's all over, and you go back to your job, what is your spiritual condition still going to be? Are you going to have river of life in you? Or are you going to be empty because the river left you? I'm going to pray for you this morning. God loves you. Bow your heads. Close your eyes right there where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person, no matter where they're at.